around, get around.
I get around.
Yeah,
get around, round, round. I get around.
I get around.
You are listening to Vision Australia Radio, and this is Get About with Guide Dogs Victoria. And their website, guidedogsvictoria.com.au, and their phone number, 9854 4444. And this is your presenter, Jackie Stevens, with my faithful guide dog, Andres. And tonight I'm talking to Jenny Black, Orientation and Mobility. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you, Jackie. Nice to be back again.
We're talking about tomorrow, which is World Sight Day. What is Guide Dogs Victoria doing for tomorrow, Jenny?
Well, Guide Dogs Victoria is going to be part of the launch for World Sight Day. It's actually happening at 10:30 tomorrow at the Melbourne Town Hall. And the theme for this year's World Sight Day is Eyes on the Future, Vision and Ageing. So it's looking at the impact of vision loss and blindness for people age 40 and over. Guide dogs will be there with our marketing team and Mark Fisher, one of our guide dog instructors.
And we're talking about the health of the eye as well as anything else.
That's pretty much the initiative Vision 2020 has, is to look at how blindness can be prevented. And a lot of the work that they do is looking at how that can happen, and also looking at what people can do in order to maintain a healthy lifestyle as much as anything, and also to encourage them to have regular eye checks at the age of 40 and over.
So that's a good launch tomorrow at the Town Hall.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, we've got White Cane Day on the 15th.
Yes, and that's a passion of mine, obviously, as a mobility instructor. My bread and butter is pretty much teaching white cane use. But as many people know, white canes come in many different forms.
Now, we're going to do a lot of things on that day, but why don't we talk more or less about white cane and the different white canes that people see about the way?
Okay. Well, depending on a person's vision loss and the difficulties they might be having with their mobility, a cane may be indicated, but the type of cane depends on the sort of problems a person might have. Now, if someone has low vision, but they're having very few problems getting around, but they still need someone to understand that they have got an impairment to their sight, an identification or symbol cane might be quite useful. And this is one that's held off the ground and in front of their body in a diagonal position so that people can see the person holding the cane as they move around the environment.
Exactly as you said, it's an indication of low vision.
That's right. So when it's not in use, it can be conveniently folded up and put into a handbag or into a pocket or whatever, and then again brought out to use, assembled and put in front of the body again as they're walking. And when people see the white cane, it is a recognised symbol of vision impairment. And hopefully what people will do is give that person a bit more leeway as they're moving around. And maybe if they see a person with a white cane who is maybe needing some assistance, offer some assistance by asking the person first if they need any help.
And that's a bit of an international view. And we get now to the long cane.
Mm-hmm. Now, the long cane is one that is a particular device that's useful for people who have quite significant mobility problems. So if they're having difficulty navigating their way along a footpath, bumping into obstacles, not detecting when a curb's coming up or whether they're on a different surface, a white cane's actually very, very useful. And a long white cane, I should say, is useful in assisting a person to navigate their way through the environment safely.
And I know whichever country you go to, the long white cane is, everybody should know, or everybody has an indication that that's a person travelling the world that uses that to get about.
That's right. I guess, though, from the outside looking in, a sighted person might not know how much the person with a white cane might see, and there may be a presumption the person can't see anything at all, when in fact quite a large percentage of people who use a white cane actually have useful vision. It may be useful for only certain aspects of them being able to get around. They might be able to read a sign if it's very large print. They might be able to tell if it's dark or light, or they may be able to pick up on colour, but they may not be able to pick up an obstacle that's very large or perhaps poorly contrasted.
And what are the other white canes that come in view?
Okay, well, I mentioned earlier an identity cane or a symbol cane. Mm-hmm. That's a very lightweight cane which is portable and obviously folds up when it's not used, but it's very, very lightweight. It's made out of aluminium and there is elastic cord down the middle, and that's all there is. There's nothing more scientific than that. There's no electronic device that's telling you what's coming up. It's basically the person is still able to use their vision that they have and use it as a bit of a symbol to other people that they have a vision impairment. The other alternative is a support cane or a walking stick, which is white. So people who have mobility problems which require a bit more support and balance might use a white walking stick if they also have an additional sight problem as well.
So that's something else to look out for.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of people in the community who use those canes in addition to the long cane that I mentioned earlier.
I know I was at the Melbourne Cup, Jenny, and my white cane, the elastic decided to go and my cane flew in pieces.
Ah, which does happen. It's like a lot of equipment. It can break down. The thing about a white cane is that occasionally it needs a replacement, perhaps for the problem that you've just talked about where the cane just completely self-destructs. But the tip on the bottom is a nylon tip. So with continuous use, the tip will wear down over time and will require replacement.
Now, one question that a lot of people ask me, Jenny, that I will ask you, is do people who do training for a guide dog, do they always go through long cane work as well?
It's not necessarily a hard and fast rule, Jackie, but from what my experience tells me, people who have had white cane training and who have had experience walking in the environment with a cane and navigating their way have a really good grounding and understanding of their environment before they change over to a dog and do the transition involved in using a guide dog as their mobility device. It's quite a different aid from a guide dog.
Yeah, it's one, like a guide dog you can't fold up and put away.
Well, this is right. The cane's actually a detector of obstacles. The guide dog avoids the obstacle. So when you're walking with a guide dog, you're basically being guided very swiftly through the environment, obstacle, as though there are no obstacles in your path, whereas the cane will pick up on those things. And the skill is in the user actually knowing what the information the cane is giving them is actually telling them about their environment. What surface am I walking on? Is there a curb? Am I coming up to a road? Are there other people around? Things like that. You pick up on other clues as well as what the cane's telling you.
I think too that the information that you learn whilst you're training with a cane, it's very important. Things like mapping an area in your own mind, you need that.
There's a lot more involved in using a cane than you would imagine. If people think it's as simple as picking it up and randomly waving it in the environment, you're wrong, because basically it requires a lot of skills training from an instructor such as myself and lots of practice to make sure that your skills are going to be safe and effective for you in the environment. And after a period of training, we're always making sure that people's skills are up to scratch. Even after a few months, it's good to check up how things are going to make sure the person's still moving safely and effectively. And by safely, I mean that their cane technique allows them body protection. So as they're moving through the environment, their whole width of their body is being covered by the cane being tapped in front of their body.
And as always, all the programs provided by Guide Dogs Victoria are free of charge.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter how many training programs you have. There's no set number of programs that someone can have. But if you need the skills and you need an update of your skills, I can highly recommend you do that.
Get in touch with Jenny Black if you want your skills updated. And anybody around Victoria listening, you can ring us here at Guide Dogs Victoria.
Absolutely. That service is free of charge, as Jackie mentioned earlier.
Thank you very much. So just a couple of dates to remember. Tomorrow is World Sight Day and on the 15th of October, White Cane Day. Thank you, Jenny, for coming in.
Thank you, Jackie.
You've been listening to Get About with Guide Dogs Victoria. Their phone number 9854 4444. And this has been your presenter, Jackie Stevens, with my faithful guide dog, Andris. Hope you've enjoyed the programme, and until next week, catch ya.